Morning. Today's daf and sota is daf dalad. Find ourselves on the bottom of Gimel and Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is known as Zecher Nishmas Libe, Gabriela Bashmuel. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. Excuse me. Machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva regarding three mitzvahs in the Torah, whether they're reshus or whether they're chova. They are permission granted by the Torah or they're imperatives of the Torah. One of those mitzvahs is kinui. Husband warns his wife, as we're now in the third day of the Masechta, so had the discussion has been the mitzvah of Sota, which is exactly what Rabbi Kiva is arguing, the mitzvah of Sota, and then within the mitzvah of Sota, so if a husband finds his wife that she is behaving in a somewhat promiscuous fashion, so he can warn her. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's a mitzvah. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's a rishus. The warning consists of a man going to his wife and says, I do not want you speaking to that person, identifying the person. He has to do so in front of two witnesses, according to Rabbi Yoshua. According to Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, he also agrees that it has to be done in front of two witnesses. According to Rabbi Eliezer of the Braisa, it can be done in front of one witness. He can do it himself. He doesn't need a witness. And then stira. And stira requires that she then, not requires, but the definition of stira is that she's going to seclude herself with a man in a... And they are witnesses who see the seclusion. So again, according to Rabbi Yoshua of our Mishnah, two witnesses. According to Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, one witness. According to Rabbi Eliezer of the Braisa, two witnesses. But then there's going to be seclusion. And now she is a Sota. She has a status change. She now is a Sota, which means that she is in an indeterminate state of whether she did or did not commit adultery. But at this point going forward, she's also to her husband. And the only resolution is going to be going to the Beis HaMikdash and drinking the Mei Sota. There is an anomaly as it relates to the mitzvah of Sota or the parsha of Sota, and that is that if there was kinu and there was stira, on top of that, there's one witness who saw the actual bia between her and her paramour. So then the halach is that she's a sur laolam, she's going to be asked to him forever, and she's not going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, she's not going to drink the Mei Sota, meaning she's a Sota Vadai. She definitively had relations based on the testimony of one witness. Generally speaking, in Halacha, we do not believe one witness, we only believe two witnesses. So why is it so? So the two answers to that question is, answer number one, it's a drasha. The Gemara repeatedly pointed to the Pasuk, Eid Ein Ba. We know Eid means a pair of witnesses. There wasn't a pair of witnesses who saw the actual act of Tumah, but if there was one witness who saw the act of Tumah, so then she will be Asura La'olam. And that's one answer that we can say. Another answer we can say, which is also, again, quoting the Gemara of the past 2 days, is that we're really stacking one piece of evidence on top of another piece of evidence. Meaning, he warned her in front of two witnesses, she secluded in front of two witnesses, so now you'll have a preponderance of evidence, so now one witness sees the act, so Raglaim L'Davar, there already is a preponderance of evidence, so the one aide can go ahead and be credible and be believed that she in fact committed adultery. Okay. She's a Sota. In other words, but here she's a Sota Vadai. She definitively had
seeing the act or seeing that she secluded
herself. No, seclusion itself needs two witnesses.
Right.
But then on top of that, one witness saw the actual act, so now she's a Sota Vadai. She's definitively a Sota.
If two
there's only one.
You need
just get
the
punishment.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
She's in a better position than the regular Sota, because she doesn't get to drink the water, and then she could die.
That's true, but she will never have a chance to be with her husband again. As opposed to a Sota Suffolk, she has a chance. Right, she.
Obviously, she doesn't want.
Okay, let's continue. What about one witness without kinui, without stira? So this is where we left off yesterday, and this is where we pick it up today. So let's pick it up in the Gemara. Just looking for a good starting point. We're on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. So let's start over here, although it is the conclusion of the sentence of yesterday, but let's start here. It's four lines from the bottom, beginning of the line. Tamalomer bavalo kinoi bavalo stira. So the buzz coming to tell me that one witness works for the tumah, but one witness is not going to be sufficient for kinuin. One witness is not going to be sufficient for stira. For kinuin, for stira, you need two witnesses for both. Again, supposing we're going like Rabbi Yoshua right now. The tumah ba'ama below kinuin below stira delamehemen edechad minalan. So now the Gemara turns to the next issue, which is what if it's one witness who sees a bia between her and this other man, and there was only one witness, and there was no kinu and there was no stira. To that the Gemara says we're not going to believe one witness. Namar kan ki matza bayar v'stavar minamar lahalan api shnei edim o api shlosha edim yakum davar ma davar hamor lahalan edim shneim afkan edim shneim. All right, so the Gemara says that for that we have a classic Zera Shava that tells us that if you have no kinu and you have no stira, and now the only testimony that we have is that she slept with another man and one witness, no, that's simply insufficient. For that you need two witnesses. Tanu Rabbanan. On the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, last two lines. Ezehu Edus Rishona Zu Edus Tira. Edus Achrona Zu Edus Tuma. Yesterday we were throwing around terminology of Edus Rishona Edus Achrona. So here the Braisa, kind of like a continuation, goes on to explain what does that mean. Edus Rishona is a reference to the seclusion. Edus Achrona is a reference to the actual act of Bia. Vikama Shior Stira. And now the Braisa goes on. The Braisa now is going to be discussing, it's a lengthy Braisa. The Braisa is now going to be discussing the how much is seclusion, meaning there is a certain amount of time that she and this man are going to be alone in this room with witnesses on the outside watching them seclude, where now she's branded a new status of being a sota. So to Suffolk, if they didn't see the actual bia, but now given the status of sota, how long does she need to be in this room? So a technical question with a number of technical answers. Kamashir, stira kedei tuma, the amount of time for relations. Kedei bia, the amount of time for relations. Kedei ha'ara, we're not talking about a relations with a full penetration, but a partial penetration. Kedei hakafas deko, the amount of time it takes to circle around a palm tree. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Now it does seem that the Braisa is a little verbose in terms of just moving like from one step to the next step, and the Gemara later on is going to explain why exactly are we going through step by step. Kedei Tuma, Kedei Bia, Kedei Ha'ara, Kedei HaKafas Dekel. That seems to be a lot of words to just simply give us a time period of how long there needs to be. Rabbi Elazar Amar Kedei Mezika Sakos. Rabbi Eliezer says it's the amount of time that it takes to dilute a cup of wine. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Kedei Lushtoso. Rabbi Yeshua says the amount of time to drink the cup of wine. Ben Azar Amar Kedei Letzlos Beza. The amount of time that it takes to cook an egg. Or roast an egg. Rabbi Akiva Amar Kedei Legoma. Rabbi Akiva says the amount of time that it takes to swallow said egg. Rabbi Yehuda ben Basir Amar Kedei Legmo Shlosh Beitzim Zu Achar Zu. Rabbi Yehuda ben Basir says the amount of time that it takes to eat three eggs one after another successively. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yirmiya Amar Kedei Likshur Garde Nima. Rabbi Elazar ben Yirmiya says the amount of time that it takes to stitch together two pieces of fabric. Chanin bar Pinchas Amar Kedei Shetoshi Yadol Asochpi Ali Tol Kisim. According to Chanin ben Pinchas, the amount of time that it takes for her to put her finger in her mouth in order to take out a splinter. Plimo Amar Kedei Shetoshi Yadol Asali Tol Kikar. At Plimo's of the opinion that it's the amount of time that it takes to put your hand in a basket in order to take out a loaf of bread. Alpha Pishayin Raila Davar Zeichel Davar. Now, even though there is no proof positive that the removal of the bread from the basket is an appropriate time, the appropriate shear, there's no pasuk in the Torah that speaks to this idea, but there's a remez in the in Sefer Mishlei. The Gemara quotes ki ba'ad isha zona ad kikar lechem. Okay, so a pasuk in Mishlei connecting isha zona to kikar lechem. As a side point, when Ashes Potiphar makes a solicitation of Yosef, so Yosef was warned that he can do anything he wants in the house and base Potiphar, but what he cannot do is kima lechem, can't have the bread. So it's an allusion, it's another remez, but the connection between is isha zonah and lechem. Okay, Rashi over there says lechem is a euphemism.
Are these all different length of time, or
stay tuned.
An example.
Just just wait a little bit. Stay with me for a little bit more, right, which I know you will, and that question will be answered. Okay. V'chol hanilam alim. Okay, we're going now, ad kan divrei habraisa, and now we're going back and we are going to try to give analysis of the braisa and a somewhat better understanding. So the Gemara starts off with the first sheet of Rabbi Yishmael. So, right, the first sheet of Rabbi Yishmael is very verbose. Again, he says, k'dei tuma, right? How much is the shear of stira? How long a period of time is seclusion? K'dei tuma, k'dei bia, k'dei ha'ara, k'dei ha'kafas deko. What? Why do you need to say all that? So, tzri chadi tana k'dei tuma hava mina k'dei tuma var tusa k'dei k'mash malan k'dei bia. If he would have stopped with the words k'dei tuma, I might have thought that k'dei tuma means not just the time that they're going to actually have relations, but also the appeasement process as well is included in this period of time. So the k'dei bia is coming to tell us, no, it's just the act of relations. V'itana k'dei bia hava mei k'dei gemar bia. Now, if I said bia, I would have thought that bia meant not just a partial penetration, but a full penetration. Kamash malan k'dei ha'ara. So it's the amount of time of a partial penetration. Going back to Yavamos, we learned this in the sixth parak of Yavamos. In terms of the definition of bia, meaning it's obviously a delicate discussion, but in terms of halacha, many times in halacha, you need to know when exactly bia occurred. So the Gemara in Yavamos tells us in the sixth parak that a partial penetration, ha'ara, which is just hachnasa satara, so that by itself is considered a bia. That's defined as bia. So here in the Parsha of Sota, so we're talking really about committing the act of adultery, which it requires an act of bia. So for that, it's a partial penetration, which is going to be sufficient. So once again, if the Braisa would have just written ha'ara, I might have thought, yes, partial penetration is the definition of bia, but it might also include the ritsui, the appeasement, the amount of time that he needs to try to convince her. So kamash malan k'dei tuma. So that's why you need the k'dei tuma. K'dei tuma is telling us again that it's only, the time frame over here is only for the bia itself. V'kama k'dei ha'ara k'dei ha'kaf is dekam. So now that we know how much time it is in terms of the physical act, how much time does that manifest itself in terms of seconds? And in general, it would have been much easier for all of us if they would have measured time by time. Right, this is just a general point that we always struggle with in Shas, which is they don't measure time by time because they didn't have a clock and they didn't have a second hand, and so they don't measure time by time. They measure time by how long it takes to walk. In other words, time is measured in increments that you and I would, right? Okay, yeah, basic activities. So over here, so we know what we're trying to measure. It's k'dei ha'ara. Now, how does that manifest in time? So that's the end of the Rabbi Yishmael Shita, k'dei ha'kafas deko, the amount of time that it takes to walk around a palm tree. Well, so again, but we don't know what we knew that gives us the amount of time, but we don't know what we're measuring. So we need to know first what we're measuring, and then we need to give a time. So again, it would have been easier had we said this in seconds and minutes, but that's just simply not how the Gemara views time. Urim minhu. Okay, now that we have explained Rabbi Yishmael Shita, so the rest of the Shitas are all, you know, giving us different ways of measuring the time. So what we need to do now, this part's a little tricky. It's not complicated. Just, you know, you just got to keep everything in line. Is that we're going to now expose ourselves to another braisa discussing the very same issue, and we're going to find inconsistencies between various tanayim of the first braisa that we saw that gave us approximately half a dozen opinions, and now this next braisa, and so you just need to, we all need to just keep in mind who said what. So here we have another braisa. It's a tosefta v'nistra v'kamashiyas. We don't know how long the seclusion period is. When the Torah says, and she becomes defiled, meaning she committed an act of relations with this other man. So it's the amount of time of actual bia. K'dei bia, k'dei ha'ara, k'dei chazaras dekel divrei Rabbi Elazar. Okay, so first of all, previously we said k'dei ha'kafas dekel, the amount of time that it takes to circumnavigate around a palm tree. Here, chazaras dekel, the return of the palm tree. Okay, and also previously we said it was Rabbi Yishmael. Here it's Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so a number of discrepancies. We need to resolve those discrepancies. But first things first, let's finish the brisa. Rabbi Yoshua Amar Kedem Zigat HaKos. According to Rabbi Yoshua, the amount of time that it takes to dilute a cup of wine. Benazai Amar Kedem Lishtoso. Benazai says the amount of time to drink a cup of wine. Rabbi Kiva Amar Kedem Litzlos Beitza. According to Rabbi Kiva, the amount of time that it takes to roast an egg. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Maser Amar Kedem Lugama. The amount of time that it takes to swallow said egg. Kasak Adat Chapir. I'm sorry, period. Okay, so now what we have is another Tosefta discussing the same issue, but inconsistencies between the first brisa and this brisa, and the Gemara now is going to address. So at this point right now, where the Gemara is telegraphing the punch, we are thinking that hakafas dekel and chazaras dekel are one and the same. So now in the first brisa, Rabbi Yishmael was the one who said hakafas dekel, and it was Rabbi Eliezer who was disagreeing with Rabbi Yishmael in that first brisa. And meanwhile, over here, in this brisa, assuming they're the same, so Rabbi Eliezer, who in the previous brisa was arguing, now seems to be agreeing. What's going on? So Abaye says, and when the Gemara telegraphs the punch, so then it's very easy to avoid the punch. So the Gemara says, well, you're wrong about the assumption. You thought Chazar's Dekel and Hakafas Dekel are the same. They're not the same. Hakafas Dekel is the amount of time that it takes to walk around a palm tree. Chazar's Dekel is when the wind blows the palm tree. We're now talking about the amount of time that it takes for the palm tree to bend and to bend back to its original position. By Rav Ashi Chazar Baruch Ki Hechid Azal VaHadar Asi Odima Ki Hechid Azal VaAsi VaHadar Kai Beduchte. And then the Gemara asks a really pinpointed question. When we're talking about the palm tree returning back to its place, are we talking about its first return back to its place, or it shakes back and forth before it really settles in? So what exactly are we referring to? Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. So now the Gemara notes another discrepancy between the first and second brisa. In the first brisa, Rabbi Lezer was saying the shear is the time that it takes to dilute a cup of wine. Here it is the palm tree shaking in the wind. Who's the Gemara says that's not a discrepancy. It's the same measurement of time, just using two different activities to measure the same unit of time. Again, another discrepancy. According to Rabbi Yeshua in the first brisa, it's the amount of time that it takes to drink said cup of wine. And over here, he's talking about the dilution of wine. So the Gemara says, exactly. It's the what Rabbi... Now I have to keep everything straight. What Rabbi Yehoshua meant is not drinking of wine, but actually the dilution and the drinking of the wine. Actually, they're both included in the shear of time. Obviously, it's going to be longer. So the Gemara says, well, can't you make the argument that dilution of wine and drinking of the wine are really one and the same shear? Can we come up with that answer? The Gemara says no. Imkein Haina Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says no, because then he would be in agreement with Rabbi Lazar, and we know he's not because he's in the same brisa, arguing with Rabbi Eliezer. In the first brisa, Ben Azai was quoted in the amount of time that it takes to roast an egg. And over here, he's talking about the amount of time that it takes to drink. So, So the Gemara says again that same unit of time, just measured two different ways. In the first brisa, Rabbi Kiva was described as the amount of time that it takes to swallow the egg. Achamar kidei litzlos beitza. And over here, he's talking about the amount of time that it takes to roast the egg. Ema kidei litzlos beitza ulagama. So the Gemara says again, what we're going to suggest is that according to Rabbi Kiva, his time is taking both activities into account, the roasting of the egg and the swallowing of the egg. Malema idivi dechachirahu. So the Gemara says again, why do we make a suggestion that the roasting of the egg and the swallowing of the egg is actually the same measurement of time, and it's not the combination of the two, it's each one separately, it's just the same. But the Gemara says no, but that can't be, because then he would be in agreement with Ben Azai, and meanwhile he's in the same brisa disagreeing with Ben Azai. Let's do more of these. According to Rav Yehuda Ben Bezerra, it's the amount of time that it takes to swallow three eggs successively. And over here, he's talking about the amount of time that it takes to swallow just one egg. Litzvaravda Rabbi Kiva Kamar. So here, Ben Azai was responding to Rabbi Kiva. Dekamar Misharim Bitzila Uva Gimia Ema Shir Gimia Lechuda Kede Ligmar Shosh Beitzim Zuachazu Dan Itzliya Vigimia. You said that's the amount of time that takes to. I mean, Ben Azai saying to Rabbi Kiva, you say that's the amount of time that takes to roast an egg and to swallow it. So let's suggest that the amount of time of swallowing is by itself the amount of time it takes to swallow three eggs successfully, which is equivalent to the roasting of an egg and the swallowing of an egg. Rabbi Lazar ben Yirmiyahu Amar Kedei Sheyikshar Gar Deinima. The Gemara is now just going to try to pinpoint some of the other opinions that were quoted in the Braisa. The amount of time that it takes to stitch two fabrics together by Ravashi, Demirchak, Udemekarev. When we're talking about stitching, are they close to each other? Are they far away from each other? Teiku, the Gemara doesn't know the answer to that. Chanan bar Pinchas, Amar Kedei Shetoshi Yad Latoch Piyav Latoch Kisem. Amount of time that it takes her to put her finger in her mouth in order to take a splinter out by Ravashi, de mehadek or de lo mehadek, is it really stuck and lodged in her mouth, or is it not so lodged in her mouth? Teiku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. Again, the struggles when you're trying to measure time, but not through the way we measure it, but through an activity. So obviously, you're going to have all these uncertainties because, in other words, even when you're measuring with an activity, you have to know it was an easy activity, was it a difficult activity? Plimo, Amar Kedei Shetoshi Yadah L'Sali Tol Kikar. According to Plimo, the amount of time that takes her to put her hand in the basket in order to take out a bread. By Rav Ashi, the Mahadik or the La Mahadik. Was the bread firmly lodged in the basket or not? Becharata Be'atika. Was it a new basket or was it an old basket? I'm sorry. Was it... I'm just looking back at Rashi. Yes. Is it an old basket or was it a new basket? So makes a difference in terms of how easy it is going to be to take out. Bichamim or bikrira, the bread hot, the bread cold. Again, ease of handling of the bread in terms of time it's going to take to get out. Bidechiti b'desari, was it wheat bread or was it barley bread? Again, Rashi goes on to explain the wheat bread is smoother and than that of the barley bread. Barley bread is a little coarser. Birchicha o ba'akushe, was it soft or was it hard, the bread? Take all these questions are unresolved, they're uncertainties. Again, we're trying to measure time using an activity, and we don't have enough details to really measure the time. And the Gemara acknowledges. We don't know.
Are these standards that you find in other places in the
Shas? No. No. This is the only, in my recollection, which, you know, it doesn't mean a whole lot, but in my recollection, this is it. This is the only place where we're going to see these kinds of measurements. Generally speaking, I'm speaking in generalities, time is measured in terms of the amount of time it takes to walk from one place to another place. That's generally. Over here, however, I know why they can't do that over here, because we're talking about a very small unit of time. So we're talking now about a small unit of time, so they're going to have to try to quantify it in a different type of activity other than walking. You saw that with Rabbi Yishmael, meaning where Rabbi Yishmael said the amount of time it takes to walk around a tree. So in other words, walking is the general use of measurement of time. So that's what Rabbi Yishmael was trying to do, but obviously it's funny. In other words, walking around a tree obviously is a very short amount of time. So exactly the point. They're trying to express a small unit.
Is there actual machloket between them, or are they just using a different way to express?
Again, I'm reserving the answer to that question for. I'm going to let the Gemara answer that question, as the Gemara is going to share information with us that really, it's amazing that it does.
Yeah, a lot of them mystery to this. It's not like.
That's correct. Okay, so and here we are. Dalam is based in Masech Tesota, we're on the top of the Amud, and the Gemara is going to give us information which I guess you can question why the Gemara is providing us this information. It is a little bit strange. It does seem to breach a little bit of the laws of Tznius. However, we are discussing halacha, so obviously, you know, we have the maturity to handle that. But still, it does seem a little bit strange. And with that said, let's go. I'm Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef. I'm Rav Yochanan. Kol echav echad ba'atzmo shir. When every one of them was giving a shir, so everyone was giving a shir based on their own personal experience. So in other words, it certainly sounds like from the Gemara that these are different measurements. And each one of them is giving a shir based on their own based on their own history. So the Gemara says, now that we know that, now it opens up, I don't want to say a Pandora's box because it's not really true. The Gemara is not going to ask a whole series of questions, but the Gemara is going to ask a pretty good question. Aika ben Azai delo nasif. Okay, of the people listed here in this machlokes, one of them is ben Azai, and ben Azai never got married. The Gemara in Yevamos, Rashi over here quotes it. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that ben Azai loved Torah. Torah was his first love and his only love. And he could not find himself the time to take away from Torah in order to get married. We had this discussion back in Kedushin. We will have this discussion. We're close on the other side now to the Gemara Kedushin. Gemara Kedushin has a debate in the first parak, Daf Chav Tes, Lamed Lamed Alf. Anyway, the Gemara has a debate over there whether or not a person should learn Torah first or get married first. What should you do first? So it's always a bit of a struggle. In other words, do you make a serious commitment to learning? Do you make a serious commitment to wife? And obviously, the two impede on one another. So the Gemara over there has a discussion. Ben Azai is not brought up over there in the Gemara Kedushin, if I remember correctly, but in Yevamos, he says that he couldn't find time for a wife. The Rambam writes, this Rambam I remember very clearly. The Rambam says that really Talmud Torah has primacy over that of getting married, but obviously there's also a mitzvah to get married. So you learn Torah until basically you're old enough where you need to get married. So, but really fundamentally Torah is number one. So when Ben Azai said, "Look, I love Torah so much, I'm with Torah, I'm stuck with Torah," stuck meaning, you know, in a loving way. So okay, so the Rambam says so. He never left Torah. Anyway, with all that status, so the Gemara says, now that we know that all these measurements are based on their own personal experience, so how did Ben Azai give a shear? How did he have a vote over here? Va'ika Ben Azai delo nasif ibaisem nasif parish ava. So the Gemara gives one answer, which is very interesting, and that is that maybe he did get married, but was separated from his wife because of his love for Torah. Okay. I don't have anything on this first answer of the Gemara. I mean, it's like Gemara throws out the suggestion, but we find throughout Shas that he didn't get married, so it's hard. Okay, whatever. The Gemara throws it as a suggestion. Ibai Sema me Rabbi Shmuley, or he learned it in Shir. The Ibai Sema Sod Hashem Liyreyav, or the third suggestion of the Gemara, Sod Hashem Liyreyav. Very interesting idea, and that is that when you are one of the Yari Hashem, so you know things. You know things which even if you haven't personally experienced, but if you're one of the Anshei Segula, if you're a select member of Klal Yisrael, really dedicated to Avodas Hashem, so you know things. So the Gemara says Ben Azai knew things, which by the way makes sense because he's one of the members of the four who went to Pardes. I mean, he understood. He knew things.
But it also says in Ketubot that he married Rabbi Akiva's daughter.
Huh?
In Ketubot it says that he married Rabbi Akiva's daughter.
He married her, or? Oh yeah. Oh okay. Good. Good. That I don't remember. Good. Okay. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. We still have a lot more to cover today. Okay, I'm sorry. Darash Rav Aviri. Okay, we are on Adal Amid Beis. We are about 5-6 lines down from the top. Zimnin Amar Lamishmei Rabbi Ami. Zimnin Amar Lamishmei Rabbi Asi. Okay, occasionally he would say the name of Rabbi Ami. Sometimes in Rabbi Asi. Kol Ochel Lechem Belo Netilas Yadayim Kilu Ba'al Isha Zona. You eat bread without washing your hands, it's like committing adultery. So the or having relations with Isha Zona. Okay. It may not be the same thing. Anyway, you got to wash your hands before you eat bread. Now, it's a mitzvah to Rabbanan to do so. And the Gemara is going to make a very interesting equation, and that is that failure to do so is equivalent to having relations with Isha Zona. Shenamar ki biad Isha Zona kikar lechem. Now, how do we get onto this discussion? It's based on the Pasuk of Mishlei. We already quoted the Pasuk of Mishlei on Amud Aleph. We get to quote it now again, right here. The Navi says, Mishlei says, that biad Isha Zona ad kikar lechem. That the being with a Isha Zona is like with a loaf of bread. And the Gemara understanding over here is like a loaf of bread, meaning you didn't wash before eating the loaf of bread. So Rava says, look, if the point in Mishlei was to make a comparison, to draw an equivalency, what the Pasuk in Mishlei should have done is start off with Kikar Lechem, and then say, and do you know what it's like if you eat bread without washing your hands? And then say Isha Zona. Meaning, obviously, it's a mitzvah to wash your hands before eating bread, which we'll talk more about in just a moment. It's a mitzvah to do so. It's a mitzvah to Rabbanan to do so. But it's obviously a big chiddush to say that if you fail to do that, it's like having relations with Isha Zona. So what the Pasuk of Mishlei should have done is first put down the Kikar Lechem and then say Isha Zona. So Alam Rava Kol Abal Isha Zona Lesov Mevakesh Kikar Lechem. So Rava says, no, the Pasuk of Mishlei is coming to teach us a different point. And that is, if a man has relations with Isha Zona, so ultimately it'll lead to his demanding, his requesting Kikar Lechem. Meaning poverty. Meaning that that kind of promiscuous behavior would result in poverty. That's what the Pasuk of Mishlei is coming to teach us. Rabbi Zrika says in the name of Rav Elazar that someone who is mezalzel really pays no attention to the mitzvah of netilas yadayim, so nekar min olam is going to be uprooted from this world. You take a look at Rashi over here. Hamizalzel. Rashi first off says she'ochel tamid below netilas yadayim. Rashi says he habitually eats bread without washing his hands. Meaning, obviously, you should wash your hands every time. That goes without saying, but I'll say it. But the harsh language of the Gemara over here of nekar min olam is dedicated to the person who consistently eats bread without washing his hands. So he's nekar min olam. Next Rashi, nekar de over al divrei chachamim. But Rashi writes that because when you violate consistently divrei chachamim, so chayv misa. So the punishment for that is misa. Misa to be de shemayim. Obviously, we're talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu's heavenly retribution. According to the pasuk from Koheles, when you breach a fence, the responsibility of the chachamim is to lay a fence around the Torah. Right, that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, one of the first Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos. So make a fence around the Torah. If you breach that fence, so Yishachenu Nachash, you're going to be bitten by the snake. So obviously that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his running of the world is going to orchestrate it so that you will be bitten by the snake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show his displeasure when you breach that fence. When the Chachamim make a siyag l'Torah. Okay. Tosos, just I'll mention it, Tosos offers a different pshat. Anyway, see Tosos, the top of the Amud, who mentions it, who offers a different pshat in terms of why such a harsh language. Amrav Chia Barashi Amrav. Okay, this perhaps is going to be the hardest part of today's daf, and I'll give it some attention, but really, we could spend a lot more time on this line of Gemara. Mayim Rishonim Tzarech She'yagbia Yadav Lamala. When you wash with Mayim Rishonim, so you must lift your hands up in the air. Mayim Achronim Tzarech She'yashbo Yadav Lamata. However, the Mayim Achronim, so you must be mashbo, you must lower your hands for the Mayim Achronim. Tanya Namihakli, Gemara Kortz Abrais as well. Hanoto Yadav Tzarech She'yagbia Yadav Lamala. When you wash your hands, so you must raise your hands up to the heavens. Because what may end up happening is that maybe some of the water will go below the joint, the yachzeru, and then return back up, the tamus yadayim, and be metame the hands. Okay, period. Let me just spend a minute trying to explain what's going on over here in terms of the raising of the hands for netilas yadayim. Rashi over here is a little difficult. I'll just explain it in the most basic, as most basically as I could, and then we're going to move on in the Gemara. Okay, I did my homework last night. Anyway, the Masechta you need to know in order to really discuss this intelligently is called Maseches Yadayim. Okay, it's in Seder Taharos. We don't learn in the Daf Yomi. Okay, because it's in Seder Taharos, and we don't do that. One Masechta we learn in Taharos, and that's Masechta Nida. Outside of that, the rest of it has no Gemara, and it's not part of the Daf Yomi. So in Masechta Yadayim, so basically Masechta treats itself. I didn't go through the. I just looked up the Mishnayos necessary for this discussion. I don't want to sound like I know the Masechta, so I don't. But anyway. But the Masech is dedicated to the topic of this mitzvah of washing your hands. Here's the basics. The Chachamim instituted a tumah on one's hands. The tumas yadayim that we have on our hands is a tumah de rabbanon. where the Chachamim said that our hands, if we take our attention away from our hands, or misiach das from our hands, so the hands now are tummy. What degree of tumma? They're a sheni latumma. I'm sorry. Yeah. They're a sheni latumma. Machlokas, but let's say the halacha. They're a sheni latumma. So now that means that as my hands have taken my thought away from my hands, and my hands may have touched places which are dirty places. So now they are subject to this tumma derabanan. You know it's a tumma derabanan. We all know it's a tumma derabanan because there's no such thing as one part of a human being tumme and the other part of the human being not being tumme. Meaning, from the Torah's perspective, either you and your entirety are tumme or you're not. It's one or the other. So this idea that only your hands are tumme, that's a tumma derabanan. Okay, but the Chachamim Institute is tumma derabanan. The Gemara in Shabbos, we discussed this back in Masechta Shabbos. Part of the Gzeiras Tumas that were instituted by Beis Shammai. Your hands are going to now be Tameh ad haperek until the joint. Basic machlok is what that means. Your two possibilities are until the knuckles, right, where your fingers meet your palm, or until the wrist. Okay, basic machlokas. I think that machlokas we're all familiar with. Now, how do you remove this tumah derabanan? So here the chachem amru v'heim amru. So the chachamim said that you don't have to take your hands and put them in a mikvah, although that would work. But what you can do is take a cup, a kos, a kli, fill it with water and pour the water over your hands, and that is going to remove the tumah derabanan. Okay, now here's where it gets tricky. Again, I'm just giving an outline. It could spend more than just the next couple of minutes that I'm going to treat it with in terms of discussion. I'm just giving the basics. You pour the water from the kli onto your hands, so that's going to remove the tumah derabanan, meaning your hands no longer are tummy. However, the water itself now that touched your hands, the water themselves are going to be tummy. Now, it is obviously a little bit of a it's a little bit of an anomaly where you're washing your hands, their hands are going to be tower, but at the same time the water that came into contact with it are going to be tummy. And on top of that, the water is going to be tummy, and the water is going to be a rishon l'tumma, meaning that's not normal. Meaning normally what happens in terms of the communication of tumma is that it goes down a level, doesn't go up a level. But with liquids, however, it does go up a level. So the water now is tummy, and the water is a rishon l'tumma. Okay, but the water is not going to re-tame your hands. I know I just put English and Hebrew together in the same word. Okay, it's unusual, but I did it. Okay, the water is not going to re-tame your hands. Now, what do you so? But you don't want the water just lingering there, because now that water, if it comes into contact with any food, that water is going to be metame your food. So you don't want that water there. So what do you do? Maim shneim. That's why you pour a second time. Ever wonder? That's why you pour a second time. The second pouring is to remove the first waters. So the maim rishonim. Now, and I'm saying rishonim now. I don't mean maim rishonim as opposed to maim achronim. I mean the two times that we pour the water in a hand. So the first time we're pouring water in a hand is to remove the tumah from your hand. The second time we're pouring water in a hand is to remove the water that is on your hand. That's the maim shneim. Okay. Now, with the Gemara over here,
yeah, the first water makes the second water.
Meaning again, I'm just the basics, just the outline. Okay. Now, in terms of what we just learned together, Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Shneim, and the water, all this only is on the yad. It only is going to affect the hand. If those Mayim Rishonim are not on the hand, if they're on another part of the body, so then if it initially touches another part of the body, so that water is not tummy. Because the only part of your hand the only part of your body that's tummy midrabban is only the hand, no other part of your body. So in other words, if you pour the mayim rishonim on your arm, let's say, not your hand, obviously your hand doesn't become tahor, but the water doesn't become tummy, obviously. Okay, now here we go. If I pour the mayim rishonim on my hands, your hands are tahor and the water is tummy. Now, if, let's say, I hold my hands up and the water goes to the arm, and I pour the mayim shneim and that also goes on the arm, and then I drop my hands down, what's going to end up happening is that the mayim rishonim that went up to the arm is going to go back to the hands and re-tame the hands, or not, or tame the, or be metame the food. meaning that the only location on the body where the Mayim Shneim are going to just remove the Tumas Mayim Rishonim is only on the hand and no other part. That's why the Gemara says, and again, this is just the most basic explanation. That's why you keep your hands up so that if the water runs, the water is going, the Mayim Rishonim is going to run down your arm, but the Mayim Shneim is also going to run down your arm, and you don't want to put your hand back so that they're both going to run back up and be mitame your hand once again. That's the basic explanation. It goes much deeper than that, but that's just the very basics. Okay, back to the Gemara. Drying your hands. Drying your hands is essential, says the Gemara. If you eat bread even with washing your hands, but you didn't dry your hands, so it's like you're eating bread, which is tamei. Shenemar v'yom Hashem kach yochlu b'nei sos lachmam tamei.
Isn't this a gezerah on top of a gezerah? I mean, the washing of the hands itself is a
It's a rabbanon,
right?
It's a takana, meaning what you want to call it, gzera. It's a rabbinic legislation.
Okay, so is it? But you always say that it's like you can't put a gzera.
It's not a gzera. It's all part of the mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah is washing. Part of the mitzvah is niguf. You gotta dry your hands as well. Okay, in terms of the drash of Hayom Hashem Kachi Yochlu Bnei Sos Lachmam Tamei Lachmam. Can be contracted into the word into the lach, meaning if your hands are still wet. The pasuk in Mishle talking about the entrapment, the ensnarement of an eshetish. So the Gemara tells us that what leads to adultery, what leads to promiscuity, it's gasas ruach, it's arrogance, it's haughtiness. As far as an eshetish is concerned, a married woman, nefesh yikara yatsud. If you have nefesh yikara could be translated as precious soul, but in this context, it doesn't mean precious soul, it means an arrogant soul. Somebody who is inflated, has an inflated ego, so he's going to think, yes, I can not only have my wife, but I can also have somebody else's wife as well. So the Gemara is bothered by the loose translation of the word nefesh yikara. It should say nefesh givoa. So va'od hitatsud mi baile. And on top of that, it should say hitatsud. She will be an entrapment. Elam Rava kolabale shesisha filo lamator dechsiv ba yikarahi mipninim mikohen gadol shenichnas lefanav lefnim hi. So Rava is going to give a different interpretation. Second time today where Rava dismissed one way to understand the Adrasha and offers his own interpretation. So Rava says the Pshat, it goes like this: you have a person, he's Lomei Torah, he knows Torah well, he is more endeared to Kodesh Baruch Hu than the Kohen Gadol going on Yom Kippur into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That person, if that person commits adultery, so he will be ensnared by Dina Shel Gehenim. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yishum Rav Yochanan called Adam Sheish Bo Gasas Ruach Kilo Oved Avodas Kochavim. Gemara speaks more about the woes of arrogance. Anyone who has gasas ruach, who's arrogant, is as if he is an idolater. Ksiv Hachato Aves Hashem Kol Gavo Aleiv Ksiv Hasam Lo Savito Aval Beisecha. So you see the usage of the word toiva in both locations. Again, we're comparing Pesukim and Chumash to a pasuk in Mishle. It's drush. It's obviously it's a hashkafa. Rabbi Yochanan didei amar ki ilu kafar biikar. Rabbi Yochanan goes one step further. He says that the arrogance is as if you're denying a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar v'ram levavecha v'shachachtes Hashem Elokecha. You raise your heart, you become arrogant, and you're going to forget Hashem. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina amar kilu ba'al kol arayos. Arrogance is tantamount to having relations with having illicit relations. Ksiv hacha tovas Hashem kol gov alev uksiv hasem ki es kol tovavos ha'el. Okay, Ula Amar Ki Ilu Banabama. Ula says it's like taking an altar and building in your backyard. Shenemar Chidlu Lachem in Adam Shenashama Beapo Ki Bamen Echshav Hu Al Tikre Bameh El Abama. So again, just with a little bit of drush. So the Gemara says that having arrogance is as if you're building a bama in your backyard. My yad liyad lo yinake. I'm Rav Kol Abal Eishasisha. Feel like new Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu Shemayim Va'aretz Ka'Avram Avinu. if a person has relations with a married woman, even if the even if he was praised by everybody, like Avraham, he's not going to be saved from Dina Shel Gehenem if he has relations with a married woman. Again, this drasha is not. Does not seem to fit in so well with the psukim. Ale amr debe Rabbi Shila, I feel a kibal Torah ke Moshe Rabbeinu. Even if you learn Torah and were mekabel like Moshe Rabbeinu, dechsev be miyemino ishtaslamo lo yinakem midinashol gehenem. You will not be safe from dinashol gehenem. Kashal le Rav Yochanan. So hay yad liyad yad mi ba'ele. Again, doesn't like the way it fits into the pasuk. Elam Rav Yochanan, top of Hamad Aleph. I feel osif staka beseser. Even if a person gives tzedakah, and even if he does it privately, which obviously is a great thing. So, dichtiv matam b'seisa yichpe af. The pasuk says in Mishle, get a lot of Mishle today. The pasuk says in Mishle that if you give tzedakah privately, so you will squelch the anger of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Still, lo yinakem midina shel gehenem. You will not be saved from dina shel gehenem. So, okay. And this will be our stopping point. And just quickly to recap, today we started a lengthy braisa that talked about the amount of time that it takes for stira. Multiple opinions amongst the Tanayim. Two braisas that we went through, giving us the opinions of the braisa of the Tanayim. Inconsistencies between the first and second braisa. The Gemara's attempt to resolve the inconsistencies. Question of trying to pinpoint some of the opinions expressed in the braisa. Difficulty because Gemara just simply does not know enough details in terms of trying to pinpoint it. Gemara in the top of Dalam and Bays told us that really all these opinions are really expressions of their own personal experience. How did Ben Azai have an opinion? The Gemara gave three answers to that question. Gemara goes back to the Pasuk and Mishle, reminding us that the having relations with Isha Zonah is tantamount to other way around. Eating bread without Natil, I did the same mistake the Gemara did. Eating bread without Natil Sidaim is tantamount to having relations with Isha Zonah. Gemara told us one halacha as it relates to Natil Sidaim. You got to keep your hands up. Attempt to explain that. And then we finished off the daf today with drushas about the ills of arrogance. And a person who commits adultery is simply not going to be saved from Dina Shel Gehenem.